Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and, of course, around the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four exciting, dynamic, and diverse personalities who are going to play Just a Minute. And they are seated on my right. So it's great pleasure we welcome that great exponent of this game, that fine comedian, Paul Merton. And seated beside him, another fine exponent of this show, our veteran player of the game, Clement Freud. And seated on my left, we welcome back, after a long absence, that brilliant and superb actress, Sheila Hancock. And seated beside her, somebody who's never played the game before, but has come with confidence and trepidation into this game. That is that wonderful comedian and actor, David Mitchell. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me keep the score, run the stopwatch, and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre, in the heart of Broadcasting House. And we have a very excited, warmed-up audience here in front of us, longing for us to begin the show. And David, we'd like you to take the first subject, which is Cinderella. Can you tell us something about Cinderella in this game, starting now?
You know, people think because someone hasn't played the game before that you should be kind to them. Well, he hesitated.
Clement.
It was the most obvious hesitation.
Clement, he didn't hesitate. An incorrect challenge.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll make sure not to hesitate this time either.
No. So you have your first point.
Thank you. That's actually a rate of point scoring of infinity per word.
Yes. And
I'll never keep it up.
But you're getting your laughs as well, which is great. You have 59 and three-quarter seconds.
Nearly there.
To continue with Cinderella, starting now.
Cinderella is a pantomime and a fairy tale, and if you're running a regional theatre, you'll be aware that you'll make more money if you put Cinderella on than any of the other stories that you can base that kind of show on around Christmas, such as Mother Goose or Dick Whittington. They'll all take less cash for you, because even though everyone knows the story of Cinderella, people don't really go to the theatre.
Sheila challenged.
Is it repetition of story?
Yes, that's right. She did mention the story right at the beginning of the story. Yeah.
Well.
Sheila, you have a correct challenge. You have the subject of Cinderella, and there are 37 seconds available starting now.
When I was young and lithe, I actually appeared in Cinderella playing...
Paul challenge.
You mean you're not live now?
Lithe.
Oh, lithe, sorry. I'm awfully sorry. Just the people at home thought we might have been listening to a recording.
L-I-T-H-E. I think there's an E at the end, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you had an incorrect challenge. You have another point. We haven't got your first point, actually. And there are 33 seconds starting now.
I played Principal Boy, both Prince Charming and at another occasion, Dandini, who is Prince...
Repetition of Prince.
I'm afraid so, yeah.
That's right. And so, Paul, you now have Cinderella.
Thank you. You
have the subject of Cinderella.
I wonder if it'll fit.
26 seconds available starting now.
I was one...
Oh, Sheila, you challenged.
Well, I just thought it might be hesitation, but it wasn't. You buzzed as well, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I definitely buzzed as well, I think.
We both thought it was hesitation.
You thought it was going to be hesitation?
Yeah.
You can't have anticipatory...
No, we just wanted to get our oar in, didn't we?
Yes, sometimes you can tell when
you've got your oar in magnificently. You've got two or three points, and you've been going very well on Cinderella.
Right.
Told us how you started it many times. And Paul's now got the subject. 25 seconds to go. Cinderella starting now.
I did a TV version, and myself and Ronnie Corbett played ugly sisters, and it's a wonderful role to play in a pantomime. Get the chance.
Clement challenge.
Repetition of play.
No. Thank you, audience. You're very kind.
No, he didn't say we played Ugly Sisters. He said we were the Ugly Sisters. Yeah. So it was a good attempt, Clement, but it was an incorrect challenge. Bad. Paul has another point.
It wasn't a bad challenge, Clement. Mm. It's a challenge that was just mistaken in its beliefs.
Don't be kind.
There's no bad challenges, just some more idiotic than others.
Paul, there are 18 seconds available. Cinderella, starting now.
If you get the chance to dress up in female clothing for a laugh, it's enormous fun. I'm not...
David, challenge.
Deviation. He's talking about cross-dressing now. So
Ugly Sister. Now, exact opposite. It's a pleasure.
I mean, in the story of Cinderella, the Ugly Sister is actually a woman, I think.
But also, the Ugly Sisters put on female clothes, and they're usually fellas, and so it's cross-dressing. Yes, you're perfectly right, but that's one of the parts of pantomime, isn't it?
Okay. Well, I thought... I thought...
I'll tell you what, David, we enjoyed the interruption and the laugh you got, so we give you a bonus point for that, and Paul has a point for being interrupted. You've got this audience with you, David. And he has... 13 seconds still available. Cinderella, Paul, starting now.
The highlight of the production was when Cinderella came down the stairs, and upon her feet she wore a glass slipper. But then as she turned to the finger buffet...
David, challenge.
A deviation. She must have been wearing two glass slippers on her feet, not just one.
No, this is her on her way out when she left one behind.
Oh. You've just ruined the end of the story for me.
If you haven't heard it by now...
Paul, another incorrect challenge. 4 seconds. Cinderella, starting now.
The Birmingham Hippodrome was a magnificent theatre, and there I saw...
So, Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now taken the lead ahead of Clement Freud and David Mitchell and Sheila Hancock are trailing just 2 points behind. And, Clement, would you begin the next round? Beefeaters. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
If you are a vegetarian... and want to be a beef eater, it would be sensible to wear a fur hat. Oddly enough, the history of the word comes... Could you stop, Merton, looking at me while I talk?
I have to explain to our listeners, the reason we've got that continuous chuckle going around the audience is that all of us were rather surprised at what Clement was saying, and Paul particularly was looking at him in a very strange way. It put him off completely, so he dried up, which is very unusual for you.
I didn't dry up.
What do you do then? You stop.
I wanted a bonus point for being looked at.
So there we are. So you were interrupted, I'm afraid. Paul, what was your challenge?
Oh, a hesitation.
Yes, indeed. Complete halt.
Yes, it was.
48 seconds. Beef eaters starting now.
You see them walking around the Tower of London. I don't really know why they are called beef eaters. I'm sure it's got nothing to do with the consumption of animal meat, but maybe it has. Perhaps in the dark days of Lady Jane Grey, her continued support...
Clement, challenge.
Lady Jane Grey didn't really have continued support.
Clement...
Then you count the week.
That has opened a debate. She had continuous support for 5 days while she reigned.
Yeah. Not so much after that.
After that, no. All the support fell away.
Yeah, it did.
And so did her head, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to say on that particular one. It was a clever challenge. Hmm. So let me give you the bonus point, which you love. There we are. The audience agree with me. Paul... It was an incorrect challenge within the rules of just a minute, so you have another point. 35 seconds, beef eaters, starting now.
There was a pub nearby where I used to live in Fulham that advertised steak at £2.95 for a huge £10 thing, and I thought, that must...
Clement, challenge.
The reputation of pound.
There was a pound,
pounder.
Yes.
No.
Pounder.
Pound and pounder.
That's right.
The air didn't...
Did I say...
Ooh...
Did I say pounder?
Did say pounder.
Oh, okay,
definitely. Okay. So, Clement, you're sitting next to him, but he did say pounder.
Yeah.
I'm further away, and so the audience, and they heard pounder as well.
Yeah.
Didn't you, audience?
Yes!
There we are. Endorsement. 27 seconds. Beef eaters, still with you, Paul, starting now.
Still with me?
Yeah, yes. 27 seconds.
Sorry, didn't you say I had said pounder twice? No, I hadn't said
No, you hadn't said pounder.
No, I didn't think I had.
You said pound and pounder.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But Clement's challenged you.
Deviation.
Why?
He didn't talk about the subject. He said, do you mean me?
Are you going to challenge him for hesitation or repetition?
No,
of
deviation.
No, I mean, he didn't deviate because he hadn't actually started.
I am a beef eater and I said, do you mean me?
Mm. 26 seconds, Paul. Beef eater starting now.
Do you mean me? Yes, he does. And so beef eating...
Clement Charles.
Repetition.
Clement, you've cracked it. Right, you're in there with a correct challenge. 23 seconds, Beefeater, starting now.
In France, the yeomen who protected the kings were called buffetiers.
David challenged.
I thought that was hesitation.
No. He was going a bit slowly, but I don't think he...
Okay, all right.
Benefit of the doubt to you, Clement, because I know that you're very intense about this one. 19 seconds still, Beefeaters, starting now.
It was their job to ensure that no one poisoned Louis the 9th, 10th, 11th...
Sheila Hancock.
He's not talking about Beefeaters, he's talking about the yeoman in France.
That's right, he is, so that's deviation, isn't
deviation.
It?
Deviation.
So you have the subject now, Sheila.
Yeah, you.
And you have... Gold.
12 seconds. On Beefeaters, starting now.
As far as I know, the Beefeaters in the tower look after the ravens, and I believe if...
Paul challenged?
I think there's quite a bit of jewellery there as well. It's not really the ravens, it's the crown jewels they're looking after.
Yeah, but the ravens need feeding, the jewellery doesn't.
No. And also, I mean, it's perfectly correct, they do look after the ravens. They might look after the jewellery as well, but they do have a commitment to the ravens.
Yes,
I think Securicor looks after the jewellery now.
It isn't real jewellery, anyway, it's false.
And Securicor couldn't
She was looking a bit cheap at the last opening of Parliament, wasn't she, the Queen?
And yes,
that crown came from a pound shop, I thought to myself.
So, Sheila, you had an incorrect challenge. You still got the subject. 7 seconds, Beefeaters, starting now.
I have a photograph of me as a little girl standing next to a beefeater in the tower with the raven...
Paul challenged.
Repetition of tower.
Oh, you mentioned the tower before, yes.
Yes.
So, Paul, you've cleverly got in with...
Oh, he's got 1 second. He's doing Clement's
trick. 1 second ago,
trick.
Yes. Oh. But it's the rules of the game. 1 second ago, Paul, Beefeaters, starting now.
Medium rare!
So at the end of that round, Paul was then again speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. He's increased his lead slightly over Clement, who's increased his position slightly over Sheila Hancock and David Mitchell in that order. And Sheila, will you begin the next round? Sisters. What a lovely subject for you. Starting now.
I'm particularly interested in sisters at the moment because I'm about to start rehearsing a musical called Sister Act, which is... a play about nuns. I, as a little girl, went to a convent for a little while called St. Ethelreda's in Ely Place, Holborn. The sisters were extremely kind to me because I hated the smell of incense, so I was allowed to sit in the glass partition at the back on their knees, and I used to think how odd it was that they were so fond of children but they chose not to have them. Then later I went to Spain and there was a monastery in Javier where you could buy cakes. You put money on a little roundabout and out came a cake made by the sisters. Oh,
challenge.
Oh, I was doing well, too, wasn't I? Repetition of cake.
No, it was cake and cakes.
Cake and cakes.
No, it was cake and cakes, you said.
Oh, was it?
No, yes. I didn't do it for repetition.
No.
What was it?
For saying, oh.
Oh.
When I buzzed you.
Oh. Am I not allowed
okay,
to...
Okay, bad challenge again.
No, you did say cakes first.
Oh, did
And then
I?
You put the money in and you got a cake.
Right.
So it was singular and plural.
Okay.
So you're all right.
All right.
You've got another point. You've got 14 seconds. You've still got sisters starting now.
I got chatting to these sisters and they invited me.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right, yes.
It's on the card.
Yeah, I know.
On the card, yes.
Thanks, that's an extra point. Wrong challenge.
I was challenging for sisters. I thought it was sister on the card.
No, no,
sisters.
Sisters.
So, sorry.
How many years have you been playing the game, Paul?
To be honest, I nodded off. And when I woke up, panicked.
I know. It's unbelievably boring, but I am keeping going.
Exactly. Secret of this game.
They're enjoying it, and they're discovering something fascinating about your early childhood.
Yes.
I'm enjoying it, too.
Good.
I want to know more about the cakes.
Well, I can't think of anything more to say about that, but I'll try.
Well, you've got 11 seconds.
Have I?
Think very rapidly.
Okay.
Let the adrenaline pump.
Right.
Sisters is still with you,
okay.
Starting now.
When I was young, there were acts called the Beverly Sisters and the Andrew Sisters, who sang songs in medleys and were beautiful. One of the numbers was Sister...
So So if you thought you were boring, Sheila, you would not have got that spontaneous round of applause at the end. You were speaking as a whistle wind, you gained that extra point, you move forward with other points in the round, of course, and you're equal with Clement Freud in second place, just ahead of David Mitchell, and they're all trailing Paul a little. But Paul, it's your turn to start, and the subject now is making up. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
As part of the tools of the professional actor, he is used to making up when he appears in the theatre. But here, on radio, it is not necessary to attach the blouge or the rouge to your face. Because you cannot be seen by the great listeners throughout the British.
Chairman Challenge.
Hesitation?
Yes, there was a hesitation there, yes.
That's my natural rhythm.
Was it? I'm surprised no one challenged you for deviation on blouge.
Yeah. It sounded like I knew what I was talking about at that point. I don't think that's what fooled people.
Yes, I'd be ashamed to admit that I don't know that blouge exists.
Exactly. And maybe it does.
Yeah.
I think you were thinking of blusher.
Yeah, I think I was.
Right. Anyway, Clement, a correct challenge, a point to you. 42 seconds, making up, starting now.
Blouge is a good word to make up. Many people...
David, you challenged.
Yes, well, there was a hesitation under a lovely long laugh.
I know. But unfortunately, in just a minute, we have to ride the laughs because you can't actually pause. But anyway, you got a correct challenge of hesitation, well listened, and 36 seconds available, starting now.
Making up is one of my happiest memories from my childhood because at the age of 15, I spent an entire summer making up. Everyone at my school was charged with constructing an enormous preposition outside the school gates, and I...
Clement challenged.
School.
Repetition.
School gates, yes.
Yes, now I'm absolutely, completely destroyed, but I admit my guilt. like a banker.
What? Not destroyed.
But at least you have the honesty to admit it.
Yes. Well, that's, yeah. Well, they get bonuses, so...
And I think that remark deserves a bonus point. Oh. But Clement, you had a correct challenge, and you got making up, and 20 seconds available starting now.
The late, great politician Barbara Castle not only made up for radio, but insists on being made up... I said that twice.
Sheila, you challenged.
Yeah, he said made up twice.
Yes, right, made up. Yeah. So, Sheila, you've got 11 seconds on this subject, making up, starting now.
Making up is very hard to do, but it is lovely after a quarrel to kiss and be friends again. It's something I enjoy hugely.
So Sheila Hancock was then speaking as a whistle when, gained that extra point, and so did Clement get points in the round, so they're both equal still in second place. Only now 2 points behind Paul Merton, and they're all a few points ahead of David Mitchell. And who's going to begin the next round for us, David? So the subject I got here now is a tough one, I think, but just go on it. My carbon footprint.
Oh, come on.
60 seconds, starting now.
As someone who doesn't drive a car, I'm not as worried about my carbon footprint as perhaps I should be. In fact, the only effort I...
Clement challenge.
Repetition, in fact, twice.
Oh.
Eh? No.
Well, I didn't do it deliberately, but then why would I?
No, I said about giving benefits of the doubt. I gave Clement the benefit of the doubt last time against you, so I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt now against Clement. And you keep the subject, and you have 54 seconds. My carbon footprint starting now.
What I do to try and make my carbon footprint smaller is just to make sure that the standby light on the television...
Gina Stallings.
There was two makes.
Yes, right.
Make sure.
Sheila. My carbon footprint, Sheila, 46 seconds, starting now.
It is a disgrace because I do have an extremely unenvironmentally friendly car, but I try to make up for it by having solar panels on my roof, which provides my electricity and my heating and my water and
Clement
my...
Challenge.
And my...
And my right, Clement, correct challenge. 31 seconds now for you on my carbon footprint starting now.
I have long waited to discuss the carbon dioxide emission that comes from my body, my knees, shoes, feet. And frankly, it is 8.47%, which is extremely high, dangerous. And putting hot water into my bottle at night, I realize I should not draw fresh CO2. I meant...
Paul Challenge.
He meant to say H2O.
Yes.
No, I didn't. No,
didn't you? What did you mean to say?
Myxomatosis. And got it absolutely wrong. Mm.
You meant to say myxomatosis?
Yeah, always.
I withdraw my challenge.
You can no longer put CO2 or myxomatosis into your bottle.
No, exactly. I don't know what your carbon footprint would be.
But that's, therefore, illegitimate. Your challenge is legitimate.
Exactly.
But are you going to be generous and give it back to him, or are you going to keep it?
Well, I thought he was struggling.
He was struggling.
So let him have it back.
All right. There's generosity for you. With 3 seconds to go, Clement, my carbon footprint starting now.
Being...
Clement, full challenge.
Well, that was a hesitation.
Yes. Actually, it wasn't, but I give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption. Clement, you have 2 seconds on my carbon footprint starting now. Clement, challenge.
I thought you'd enjoy the interruption. You liked it so much last time.
Yes. Yes, I did enjoy the interruption, but you interrupted yourself. You buzzed.
No.
So what is your challenge?
You get 2 points.
Let us
play... It's a wrong challenge, you still get a point.
No. Let us play the game, Clement. You have pressed your buzzer first, you use the challenge. What are you challenging yourself for?
Pleasing you.
That's not a legitimate challenge within the rules of just a minute. Nobody else tries to please me. They try to get points.
That's not fair. What about that pony I bought you? I bought him a pony.
Clement has pressed his buzzer, says he's trying to please me. Obviously, what he wants is another point. He's got his point. He's got 2 seconds to go. My carbon footprint starting now.
Greenery is...
So Clement Freud was then speaking as a whistle wind with other points he got in the round, some with the help of Paul Merton. He has moved forward. He's now in the lead ahead of Sheila Hancock and Paul Merton. Clement, it's your turn to begin, actually, and the subject we've got now is philately. So will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
When I was a very young boy, we lived next to the Latterleys, and Phil was their eldest son, who collected stamps which had nothing to do at all with the family. But yes, he had Togo Lago.
Sheila, challenge.
It's got to be a hesitation.
Definite hesitation, yes. Sheila, 45 seconds, tell us something about philately, starting now.
If philately is to do with stamp collecting, that's what I did when I was young. You're getting the whole of my childhood on this programme. I used to buy little hinges that you lifted the stamps up and you could see the thing on the back. And I'm sure I had a penny black that was worth a fortune, but unfortunately, it got lost in the very many moves that I had.
Oh, David Challenge.
I thought there was a bit of a stumble there.
It was,
and
yes.
You know, I'm doing too badly not to be brutal.
Yeah.
So I'm a cornered beast.
No, I'm... Yeah.
You're contributing well. Correct challenge, David. And 26 seconds available. Philately, starting now.
I have never been particularly interested or understood why people collect the little things that you put on letters to try and determine how much has been paid in order for that to be delivered to the place that's written on it. I think that's an extremely dull topic.
Paul Challenge.
You're allowed to use the word stamp.
I was saving that for later.
Paul, we enjoyed the interruption very much, so we give you a bonus point for that. And you were interrupted, David, so you get a point for that. And you keep the subject, and you have 13 seconds. Carry on with philately, starting now.
Stamps that I have collected are the noise made by putting your foot loudly down onto the ground. I am extremely interested in them and think they are much more fascinating than the numbers that are stuck to letters.
So, David Mitchell was then speaking as the whistle went. He gained an extra point, got other points in the round. He's leapt forward. He's still in fourth place, but he's in fact, we're moving into the final round, I've just discovered. Yeah, the situation is that David is in the fourth place, but he's never played the game before. He's doing brilliantly. He's trailing Sheila by 3 points, and then comes Paul, who's 2 points ahead of Sheila Hancock. But out in the lead, going to the final round, is Clement Freud. And Sheila, it's your turn to begin. The subject, soap. Tell us something about soap in this game, starting now.
Soap is one of my very favourite things, actually. Sitting in a bath with the smell of perfume, either honeysuckle, violet, lavender, jasmine, imperial leather, gives me a real high, and the bubbles that it causes that I can blow into the air. I also enjoy EastEnders hugely. I watch it regularly. And the
David has challenged you.
Well, EastEnders got nothing to do with your bath. Or your soap.
It's a soap.
Oh, my God, I thought it was a proper quality drama. I thought it was just a five-parter and I'd missed it.
No, she did a big mental switch there and she left you standing for a moment, David.
Yeah.
But anyway, she gets a point because she was interrupted there, an incorrect challenge. 35 seconds still with you, Sheila, on soap starting now.
Well, all I can say is you don't know what you're missing. It is a wonderful programme. The actors pull out their emotional stops here, there and everywhere. They thrill me with their talent. The lighting is good, the direction is good. And...
Paul challenge.
Two goods, yes.
The lighting's good, the other one's good. Paul, you've got in on 20 seconds ago on the subject of soap, starting now.
Soap is a wonderful thing. If we think of it as a substance that gets us up in the morning by bathing ourselves in glorious liquid and covering our bodies in this magnificent substance that is soap.
Clement challenge.
Substance.
Yes, it's a
magnificent... Did I say substance twice?
Yeah, no, you repeated it.
Did I?
And so, Clement, well listened. 8 seconds to go on soap, starting now.
I rather like Mitcham Common because the smell of soap from the adjacent...
David challenged.
Oh, I thought I might have a hesitation, but I'm losing confidence now.
There was a slight hesitation. Yes.
Oh, well, I'm gaining confidence now.
And as it's debatable whether it's a hesitation or not, David, what I'll do is, because you actually can't win, but you can do very well... But you can finish in a flourish, because there's only 4 seconds to go, and you have soap starting now.
I don't think soap is a very interesting thing at all. In fact, you can buy...
So it only remains for me to give you the final situation at the end of this one. Well, David Mitchell, who's not played the game before, actually did extremely well. Finished in fourth place, but it was a very powerful fourth place. And he was only 2 points behind Sheila Hancock, who hasn't played the game for a very long time. She was 2 points behind Paul Merton, who's played the game many times. But 1 point ahead of him was Clement Freud. So we say, Clement, you'll be delighted to know you're the winner this week. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. It remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, David Mitchell and Sheila Hancock. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle magnificently. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. We're very indebted to our lovely producer, Claire Jones. We're very grateful to this audience here, the Radio Theatre, who've cheered us on our way. Tune in the next time we all play Just a Minute!